That's what we want to do. That's what we want to have, and as an effect upon each other's life. John and I, and I don't know anybody else here. I don't think anybody else, but there are others in our church. We're at a conference this last week, a biblical counseling conference, that you could confuse with, okay, here's how we learn how to fix people's lives and how to come alongside and replace the psychologist in someone's life, which ideally, yeah, you'd want that to be the case, but really it's the Word of God that needs to replace the wisdom of men in people's lives. But biblical counseling, if you think about it, if you understand it, is more of a life-on-life principle. It's the iron sharpening iron principle. It's the admonishing one another's. You look at the one another's in the Bible and you see Christians interacting one another with each other, whether it be reproving one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, coming alongside and holding up and bearing one another's burdens, all these things, loving one another and forgiving one another's sins and things of that nature. All those things is life on life, and it is our responsibility as Christians in a church and our responsibility to each other as brothers in the Lord to see that we are holding up our end of the bargain, that we are operating and acting as members of the body of the Christ in that way. And biblical counseling really should be understood in that light, where we grow in wisdom in the Word of God. We can use that wisdom to help another man or another person or our own children if need the, or be the situation as parents. So tonight what I wanted to do is kind of summarize what is a lesson I taught back in Proverbs a year or so ago about the wise lesson of listening. And why did I choose that? Because the concept of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, the word disciple is a learner. He's a learner. He listens to learn like a pupil or one who's being tutored by the one who mentors his life, his Christian life. And that one we learn from is Jesus. We're a disciple of Jesus. Every one of us is. And thus we should be, by very character being a Christian, a learner or a listener of what Jesus has to teach us and guide us. So, wise listening, if we could think of it this way, is being a disciple, a learner. A Christian man is a disciple. He learns the truth. He learns about life. He learns and gains wisdom. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. A large portion, a large concept of behind the book of Proverbs is, of course, the father, Solomon, teaching his son and pleading with his son, and you can add to anybody there, a disciple, a daughter, his own wife, or someone he's trying to teach truth. He's pleading with them to gain wisdom. Listen to my words and gain wisdom. He has something to impart into his life. I think as us, as Christians, as disciples, we all have something to impart into each other's lives, and we need to be committed that way. But there's something important about this. It's the receiving side of it that I want us to focus on. To be a good disciple isn't so much to be someone who learns what to tell the other person how to live their life. It's learning how to live the life and learning from others on how to live the Christian life. So we need to be good and skilled at listening. It's critical to becoming a gracious listener, to be a gracious, receptive listener, critical for a Christian to become that. And I don't mean, when I say listen, to have an open mind to every opinion out there and every voice that is out there. Obviously, as Christians, we're called to show discernment. We don't just listen to anything. And I would, you know, instructing and helping my son as he's sitting in classrooms and listening to teachers, there's much to learn from the teachers and schools, but you have to have a discerning ear. You can't take everything they say as the truth and as wise. Some stuff is going to come. Some stuff is not going to line up, and so you have to have discernment. You got to use a filter there, and it's the biblical filter, and saying, okay, I know this is true, but that, no thanks. So when I say be a listener, what I'm talking about is being a disciple who listens and learns from the truth. And the truth is always going to come from the Lord. It's always going to come from Scripture. And I want to add something else to that. It's going to come from the church. It's going to come from the body of Christ, who's committed to the truth, upholds the truth, and teaches one another in the truth. You be a listener from the Word of God, from the Lord Jesus Christ and from His church, the people of God that He has placed in your life, you will grow to be a good disciple. It's interesting that Jesus typically would cry out in many of His teaching engagements, He would say those famous words, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." What is He trying to communicate with that? Listen up. Open your heart, your mind, your reason, and come and reason with me, is what He's saying. Listen to what I have to say. I have something to teach you. I have something to impart to you. So open up. Be a disciple. Learn from me. Learn from me and take my burden upon you. And without question, Jesus' ministry was a ministry of teaching the wisdom of God. And we would do well to learn from Christ. But I don't want to go to the Gospels to walk through what it means to be a disciple. I think what you find in the Gospels is the things that Jesus wants to teach His disciples about the truth, about the gospel, about the kingdom. And those are very important. To be a disciple, you need to learn those things. But practically, what does a disciple need to do and be like in order to be a good disciple, a good learner? That's where you go, I believe, to the book of Proverbs to learn that lesson. So if we go back to Proverbs, I want to walk you through a few principles about learning, about being a disciple. The teaching motif of this book involves a teacher and a listener or a learner. And to hear and receive truth. He needs to listen to the wise or the parent or the teacher or the reprover, someone who has a corrective for your life. He needs to listen. He needs to be listening to the righteous one. That's a key factor in how you're going to grow and be a strong and mature disciple. When we become a listener, here's some things we get. We receive instruction with an open mind and a heart to learn. We receive that instruction. We receive reproof with a humble heart, not chafing against that. We welcome critique as from the hand of the Lord through His messenger. And we love discipline and chastening because we know it will lead to greater Christ-likeness. So this is why it's so important to be a good learner, a good disciple in this way. It should be noted, it's very interesting, there are many businesses that hire management consultant firms, and these firms come in and critique the companies. They critique the companies kind of like a coach critiques and fine-tunes his athletes on the team. You hire these coaches, their job is to work with the team to get them to play really well, unlike my team right now. Coaches are failing. Or artists and restaurants where they have a product and they want the best and they thrive on the advice and the scrutiny of critics who tell them what's wrong with it or what's missing with this ingredient or whatever it is. Those are examples of people who gain valuable advantage from the input of others. And companies grow well and do well when they listen to the critique of these firms and they grow from the input from those firms to tell them objectively what's wrong with your product, what's right about your product. They pay lots of money for such input. What do you think the church needs? What do you think Christians need? We should be likewise as open and receptive to that type of teaching, that type of discipleship that goes on. Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Navigators Ministry. Whenever he would receive a criticism, he would take it to the Lord in prayer. Then he would lay out each issue before the Lord and ask Him to show him the kernels of the truth that reveal about his own character and flaws. He never attacked, never really went on defensive. He always tried to scrutinize what is said there to see what really is the truth here and where is the flaw in me. Lord, show that to me. And that's a good way for us to learn. That's a good way for us to be a strong, growing disciple. And if you don't want that type of reproof, and you don't want people to tell you, then you're doing nothing but concealing your transgressions and living in your sin, and you will not grow. You will not grow. You will not be a good disciple of the Lord. So we need to be open and available and wanting to grow as a body, one another, iron sharpening iron, growing together and teaching one another. Well, let me give you a plan. I'll walk through this real quickly. The plan of gaining wisdom or practical discipleship, how we live as disciples. What's a good plan to this? And how we can learn, how can we be good listeners? One passage I want to take you to is Proverbs 15. Turn there, Proverbs 15, verse 31. Verse 31, verse 32, and verse 33. Here's a good plan of gaining wisdom and becoming a skilled listener or a skilled disciple. It says, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. These are very important principles to consider. And all he's saying here is, be a good listener. Receive these things well. Listen and grow and learn. And there's a number of things that stand out here. This is the reason why we need to listen, is because it gives life-giving reproof, and you'll dwell among the wise if you're this way. If you're a good disciple, you're one who learns and learns from all sorts of venues and all sorts of ways. You will dwell among the wise by being that way. And then he says, the fear of the Lord's instruction and wisdom and humility comes before honor. That basically says that the plan here involves time and patience and humility and growth from the heart. It all starts with your fear in the Lord, your fear of the Lord. As you walk with the Lord, you will grow in this area. So let me give you a couple things that you want to keep in mind about this plan and wanting to be a good disciple. First, to be a good disciple, you need to reject pride. A good listener is not a proud person. It's not a proud person. Pride, the root of it is self-love, where we defend ourselves. We attack anyone critical to self. And so there's this rejecting of pride that needs to happen if you're going to be a good disciple. Being stubborn in our opinions, unwilling to ask questions, unwilling to ask for help, unwilling to listen to a brother who cares for your soul is pride. And you're not going to grow in being that way. That's not a good pattern. A couple passages in Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The way of the fool is wise in his own eyes, and pride is that way. He's a fool. Or chapter 26, in verse 12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for that man. And so you have this principle here. Pride gets in the way of your growth. You cannot be a proud person if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be operating in the body of Christ and as brothers amongst one another and learning from each other and growing in the Lord and iron sharpening iron, pride will stop that in its tracks. And so you have to deal with your pride right away. Don't be like the mule. Look at that in Psalm 32, the mule. I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you, this is Psalm 32, verse 8, with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. And we don't want to be that proud mule. Otherwise, we'll never grow. Secondly, you want to love discipline. You want to love discipline. What I mean by that, you want to love correction. You want to love the idea that I need to change. I need to learn to discipline my life. I can't just let my flesh free and have its way. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Yes, the Bible just said that. You hate reproof, you're stupid. But if you love discipline, then you love knowledge. We need to be like that. We need to be a person like that. It sees that a true friend cares enough to risk confronting you and I. A true friend that risks confronting me and reproves me, that is a true friend, and I need to love that. I need to receive that well. It sees the end goal is Christ-likeness. That's what I want. So I need to love discipline. A person who hates discipline is like that mule. He's stupid. He's stupid. Thirdly, you need to listen to people that God has placed in your life, that He's placed there for a purpose, that maybe an authority, like pastors and elders, or maybe parents, your parents. It's good to listen to parents. Proverbs 4:1, for the son we have, hear, O sons, of father's instruction, be attentive that you may gain insight. You listen to your father, he wants to give you insight, he's got something to teach you. You can learn much from his wisdom and his counsel. Assuming your father has wisdom, assuming they are teaching you the right things. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, understanding. That is, invest in this. Father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. You see this pleading. This is a good place to be when you have this relationship with a wise father or a wise parent or a person who's discipling you or a person who's older and wiser or experienced or knows more, is trained in truth and trained in counsel and whatever. These things are for your benefit God has placed in your life. Take advantage of those relationships. Because the one who's opposite to that is the scoffer in the book of Proverbs. Scoffer is always on the wrong side of the fence. Scoffing at discipline, scoffing at reproof, scoffing at truth, scoffing at righteousness. He ends up with a life of destruction, and you don't want to be there. If you cannot stand discipline, if you cannot stand discipline, that is to your own destruction. That's to your own disadvantage. A disciple needs to be one who loves discipline and loves and listens to, like, for example, a child listening to parents. Another, you want to love a true friend. You want to love a true friend. That's in chapter 27 of Proverbs, verse 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You don't want people kissing you and flattering you and befriending you and telling you all sorts of good things and ignoring the flaws and the things that you need someone to correct you in your life. You want a person to love you enough to talk to you and reprove you. That's what this passage means. So you want to love that. Love that true friend. They love you enough to risk your relationship by reproving you when you need it, to teach you something you need to know. They love you enough in a friendship that inflicts a little pain in order to prevent massive pain later. That's what you need to love. That's what we all need. That's the iron sharpening iron. What happens when iron comes and chafes against the other iron? It creates sparks, right? It creates heat and friction, but it's to the good. It sharpens that blade. It makes it more sound and more pure and sharper and useful. Without that, there's dulling of your life. There's a dulling of your witness and your Christian walk. You don't want that. You need the sharpening. A wise reprover. Reproof to a listening ear is what we're looking for. Another principle you want to think of is to learn from object lessons. You want to learn from others. You don't want to always have to learn the hard way. You know what I mean by learning the hard way? It's so stubborn and bullheaded, I can't learn from examples. I can't even learn from the past, but I always fall and stumbling in this problem and I have to learn the lesson the hard way. You don't have to learn that way all the time. Hopefully you don't have to learn that way any time. You can learn from the Word. You can learn from wise people who come into your life. You can learn from the examples of others. And those examples are these object lessons. Chapter 19, verse 25 says, strike a scoffer and the simple will learn prudence. See that? You strike a scoffer, the one who's hard-nosed and scoffing at righteousness and truth. Strike him to show the others that that type of lifestyle gets pain, gets destruction on its way. It gets punishment. The simple, that is the naive, the ones who have not gone through these experiences, they observe this and they learn prudence. I don't want that. I'll avoid that. That's what the object lesson is there for them. This is good to learn. Learn from others. Chapter 21, verse 11. When a scoffer is punished, the simple becomes wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. Simple becomes wise when these lessons are there. Learning from the error and consequences of the fool is to learn good things. And lastly, fight against the barriers. John Kratz, in his book, you got that book of the skill craftsman, he says the barriers to reproof, the barriers to discipline are stupidity, cynicism, and pride. Stupidity, cynicism, and pride. You need to fight against the flesh. You need to fight against making excuses and rationalizing things away and becoming defensive. You got to fight against striking back against people who maybe didn't talk to you or didn't treat you well or didn't reprove you the way you want to be reproved. Fight against those barriers. That's just stupid. That's cynical. That's pride in you. When you fight these things and when you have these principles in place and you work on these things, dealing with pride and loving discipline and listening and wanting to have that iron sharpening iron, that's where a disciple grows. That's where true discipleship is happening, especially as the book of Proverbs reveals that for us. So become a skilled listener, a skilled learner. And if you think that the only people whom you will allow to rebuke you are those who are of a specific class, specific type of person, I don't want to be sharpened by that person over there. Only this person is the one I'll listen to. If you think that way, you're doing nothing but cutting off God's hand, God's purposes. He has put people in your life right now, in this church, in relationships. He's placed them there, whether you like it or not, for your good. And sometimes it's hard to listen to some people say or reprove things, but that's for your good to learn those. So keep that in mind. We need faithful friends who will challenge us and godly humility in us to graciously listen and receive their counsel. That's where the disciple is being sharpened. That's where the disciple is growing. Now I want to take you to a passage here, and we'll close with this in chapter 9 of Proverbs. It's one of my favorite chapters in this book. It lays out a metaphor for us, a metaphor for a listener, a disciple, or the young tutor here. It's the father speaking to the son and saying, okay, here's what I want to illustrate for you. You need to listen to the right voices. You need to listen to the right things being taught, pursuing righteousness and the fear of the Lord and hearing wisdom and hearing from the wise. You need to listen closely to these types of voices because there's other voices out there that want to persuade you to other things, into unrighteousness. And he lays out what I'll call the banquet for the listener. The banquet. This is an example of how important it is to be a good disciple and a disciple of truth and righteousness, how important that is. The person who chooses to be a good disciple, a good listener, will find himself a feast of precious blessings. The person who scoffs at truth and scoffs at righteousness and goes after his own way will find himself at a banquet feast that will kill him. And here's how it's pictured by Solomon, chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. And walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman of folly is loud. She's seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat in the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. I love this metaphor. Two banquets are set up in this town. You see that? Two women have prepared the banquets. The first woman is woman wisdom. She, wisdom, has built her house, verse 1. She, it's in the feminine sense here. So here's this woman that has prepared this meal, kind of like Esther preparing a meal for the king and for Haman. The other woman is woman folly in verse 13. She prepares a feast as well. She's got her place, and the other has her place. And they're both sending out into the streets, calling in the places, in the highest places of the town, and that is where most people are gathering or most people are crossing paths. And so you have the naive and the wise mixing it up there, and you got these people calling out, come in and enjoy and join my feast, my banquet. And you think, hey, there's meal here, great, free meal, I'll come and have a great time, it'll be a wonderful party and a meal. But this is more specifically about wisdom and foolishness. Wisdom's crying out, saying, come to wisdom's table. Foolishness is crying out, come to my table and feast here. And so you have these two voices. And the question now is, where is the disciple to turn? The person who is a learner of the Lord, a follower of the Lord, who loves righteousness and truth, which voice should he listen to? Obviously, the voice of wisdom, not the voice of folly. But the naive and the foolish ones will go after and hear the voice of folly and pursue and chase down a life of sin. That's woman folly. And so you have these two houses. There's two invitations. One is a public, out in the public with integrity and honor. The other one's kind of private and seductive and drawing them in with brashness. There's a banquet. One is a feast of meat and mixed wine, which is meant to picture this wonderful banquet and much blessing and much produce there. Lots there to enjoy, nutritious, bountiful, fulfilling, satisfying. The other one pictures bread and water. Interesting. Bread and water. It's interesting how the temptations of the world offer so much, but it's nothing but bread and water. Stolen water, even, is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It just sells the lie. Sells the lie, and the tempter tempts them in, draws them in, sucks them into that, rejecting the better feast for what is a simple pleasure. And this is, of course, you can picture this in many ways, immorality, prostitution, or anything foolish here is being drawn into sin. There's a preparation by both. One is prepared by the woman. The other one is not even prepared. It's stolen. Stolen water. Maybe her husband's property, eaten in secret, shameful deeds in the darkness. There's no integrity there. So you see a contrast. You see a comparison. It's a very interesting metaphor here. But the end of it is the picture. This is where it all leads. Verse 6. The disciple who wants a life of truth, wants a life of wisdom, like we said here, is carrying out this plan of being a good disciple, where you're loving the truth, you're loving and receiving good reproof, and you're learning wisdom, and you're rejecting pride. That person who wants righteousness, he's going to turn into that first woman's banquet. And he's going to get this: leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insights. He's going to live. There's life. This is eternal life. This is, in a sense, you could take Jesus and place him right here. This is Christ on the street corners. This is Christ preaching to the crowds. This is Christ preaching to us. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden from the teachings of the Pharisees. Come to me, and I will feed you truth, the bread of life, and it will give you life. So there's one outcome for this side. And look at the other one, verse 18. The other side leads to this: but he does not know that the dead are there, that our guests are in the depths of Sheol. I call this the banquet in the grave. Here's this banquet in the backside of this house, this secret place where he's having this little feast with this folly woman. On the backside is a graveyard, because that's where it leads. It leads to death. One leads to life, one leads to death. The pursuit of wisdom leads to life, the pursuit of foolishness leads to death. The pursuit of sin over here leads to death, the pursuit of righteousness leads to life. The pursuit of what is true and what is right and what is good, that's living. That is walking in insight. The pursuit of that which is of to the flesh, whatever I want, whatever is foolish, whatever is my fleshly desires of lust, anything, throw it in there, all sinful ways, That's the death way. That's the death path. And that's what we need to understand. This feast is a feast that we need to be careful and listen to. A good disciple knows the right voices to hear and knows where to go. The pursuit of truth, the pursuit of those who love truth and will listen to the truth, will find a fate of life. The one who loves sin, won't listen to the truth, will find the grave, will find death. And that's what we want to avoid. That's what we want to be careful of. As we think of what a disciple is and a follower of Jesus Christ, Christians, fellow brothers and sisters, we want to encourage each other. As iron sharpens iron, we want to encourage each other to go to the banquet of life. Go to the banquet of wisdom. Come and sit at that table and learn, as simpletons as we are in our mind, learn to grow wise and not lack sense, but to go to the place of truth and go to the Word of God and go, well, where is this banquet, by the way, today? You know where it is? It's when you sit down with the Word of God and read it. It's when you sit and learn at Bible study. It's when you come to church here and the instruction of the Word of God is high and lifted up and it is important to you. It's where these truths are now meditated on by you and thought through as critical and important to my life, to where I want to live by them and put off the ways of error and put on truth and live by righteousness and truth and holiness and godliness and wisdom. This is where the banquet is eaten. This is where it's at. And it is, of course, being a Christian. It's being a follower of Jesus Christ when these things are happening. When you turn from these things and begin to walk in sin, you have left the banquet and you've gone next door to that other room, to that other house, and you're now feasting where the stolen water and the bread eaten in secret is being eaten. That will lead to death. So my challenge for us is to feast in the banquet of life, be a disciple of Jesus, and don't be a disciple of sin. The way of wickedness leads you to the way and the table of the woman of folly. The way of righteousness and wisdom, fear of the Lord, leads you to where wisdom is. Like Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what I have to say. Let him come to my table. Let him feast at my place. And he, of course, is the man of wisdom. He's the wisest of them all, and we are to hear from him and learn from him and be a disciple, a learner of Jesus Christ. That, I believe, is critical for us as men. Because you know what's going on, and what's common in the church today is the women get a lot of time to teach and to learn, and they grow, and they desire these things, and the men get busy with life. We get busy with work, we get busy with our toys, we get busy with all the other distractions out there. We just don't have enough time to sit down at this banquet feast and to sit down and learn and become wise. And so we end up just being naive and foolish and make bad choices, and we end up being the ones who are the spiritual weaklings in our homes or spiritual weaklings in the church. That's all too common today in the body of Christ, and we cannot let that happen here. We got to be iron sharpening iron, encouraging each other to grow and be true disciples of the Lord, because then we got to take what we learn and pass that on to our children, pass that on to our wives, pass that on to other disciples in the church or wherever we're working. This is on us to be at this banquet feast. Okay, so with that, I'm going to pray, and then what I want us to do to close up tonight at 7 o'clock is maybe take three of us, three in groups, and we'll just sit down and pray for each other and just give ourselves some prayer requests and reflect on what we've talked about tonight and where we're weak and where we need to grow in these areas and pray for each other in that way. I think probably one of the best ways to be iron sharpening iron is when we're one-on-one, and like Michael Fabara has said in that video, fellowship video, it's turning the chairs in on each other and facing each other and talking to each other, getting to know each other and knowing what to pray for each other and where we can hold each other accountable next time we get together and the next time we see each other and ask where we're going, where what we've been doing, where we've been at. Okay? So let me pray and then we'll break up and spend a little bit of time praying with each other. Our Lord, we do thank you for this evening. Thank you for just this time that we have together as brothers to encourage each other in our spiritual walk, to know that we are accountable to each other, And I pray, Lord, that we would be bold to hold each other accountable. I pray that you would help us to understand the expectations of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and what it means as members of the body of Christ and things in which we need to be open to and receptive of. Help us to also be discerning and watchful of each other. See if any of us begins to slip, begins to slide, and begins to leave this table, the table of truth and wisdom, the table of discipleship, and begins to walk after the ways of the world. Lord, may we call them to account. May we come to them as true friends, as those who love their souls and hate sin, and call them to come back and call them to the principles of discipleship. May we be that bold and may we be that caring. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us all to bond together as brothers and that you'd grow our church as a result. Bless this time as we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Would you pick a couple guys around and we'll spend some time praying. All right.